Good morning, everyone, and welcome to worship here at the Salvation Army this morning. Thanks to the band for introducing that tune. I wanted to carry on singing, and I could sense that others were with me in that. In the absence of John Ellison, our Corps Sergeant Major, I share some announcements. There will be tea and coffee after this morning's meeting. And here's my personal challenge, trying to speak to someone that you wouldn't usually speak to. There will not be an open air today, following our worship today. No open air today. And later on this afternoon at 5 p.m, we will have our final Army Basics session, where we will explore various forms of membership within the Salvation Army. Tomorrow morning, the office will be closed. There will be no office or food bank, but it will be open as normal on Wednesday and Friday. Next Sunday's worship will be at 10:30 as normal, and it will be led by Lisette and Julia, as I will be away at summer school. I want to repeat again the following announcement. On Saturday the 9th of September, we are one of the stations of the Ride and Stride. There are far too many gaps on the schedule, so I need people to be here for an hour to welcome walkers and bikers and to record their passing, really, in the hall. So it's not a difficult task, it's not a demanding task, and all I'm asking for is an hour. I'm making a big deal out of this now because the 9th of September will be upon us before we know it. The schedule's on the notice board at the back. I'd really love to see that filled in today. Sunday the 10th of September, the Corps with the band and songsters will be leading a praise on the prom meeting as part of Churches Together down in the Pavilion Gardens. That's something to look forward to, so make sure you've got that marked in your diaries. There's a proper poster here in the back. If there isn't the full poster, the information is certainly on the Churches Together newsletter that I'm looking at right now. So no excuses. No excuses. And actually, that's an opportunity for me to say one thing that really annoys me. Familiarise yourself with that notice board, because a lot of people will get many surprises, and often the information you're looking for is there, if you actually look. Lovely. So that's my pair of glasses has been found. No, they're not. In this instance, they're not. They're a really stylish pair. Oh, that was easier than I expected then. Oh, that was easier than expected, wasn't it? Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. What a promise. It is possible, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to resist the temptation to sin. And what an experience life would be if we grasped that promise fully. Let us stand together and join as we sing this song, hopefully of testimony for many of us or of promise for others. Let's join together. Let's stand.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. It's a good one. Please take your seats. And we continue in an attitude of worship and of adoration. And we sing, Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. Beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. And we declare, so here I am to worship. That's the reason we are here this morning. We're here to worship because of what, of who God is, what Jesus did on the cross. Let's join together.
I invite you to join me in prayer this morning. Oh God, our Heavenly Father, we come to you in prayer, first of all to say thank you that we are able to come to your house today, to this place set apart for your worship. We would remember those who are unable to worship with us today, for whatever reason. They are all known to you, and we pray that you may feel your presence with them. We thank you for our army, and we pray today for our leaders, for the general, and for all the officers throughout the world, that our army will grow stronger. Help us here to attract people to our church and to yourself. We thank you for our leaders, Paul and Lizette, and their family. We ask you for your blessing on them as they minister to us here at Felixstowe. We pray for our country, Lord, for our King and Queen, for all the members of the government, for our local council members. Give them the wisdom and strength of purpose needed as they make decisions on our behalf. We pray for our armed forces, Lord, and ask that you sustain them as they carry out their duties whatever they might be. We remember, Lord, the members of the NHS and private practices, the teachers, the industrial workers, all those who serve the community. We thank you for their dedicated service, and we pray that you will continue to help them day by day in their duties. We continue to pray for our world, Lord, especially the warring nations, that they may learn to live in accord, and that peace is far better than war. Finally, we thank you for your goodness to us, for all the things that we take for granted in our lives. Above all, thank you for Jesus and Calvary, for our salvation and your Holy Spirit, which sustains us day by day. We realize that we are your church and that we have a responsibility to use every opportunity given to pass on the message of your saving power. We pray that you will also help us to show by the way that we live that Jesus truly saves. Perhaps we could just have a pause for a moment, just a minute or two, in complete silence as we make our individual requests, bearing in mind that prayer is a two-way thing and that we should be prepared for God to speak to us, because I believe that he is with us here today in this hall and always. Just a few moments in silence. O Lord, we have made many requests this morning, but you are the Almighty and you will hear them all. We pray that in your love you will answer them. In your name we pray. Amen. We conclude our prayer time with a song of thanks, number 319 in the songbook, for the mighty moving of the Spirit.
Please take your seats.
We've just sang a song written by two former generals of the Salvation Army. Dennis prayed for our leaders, and that reminds me that a new general takes over on Tuesday, General-elect Lyndon Buckingham. Takes over as the international leader of the Salvation Army on Tuesday. We're now in over 130 countries, 132, 133. And I think I heard of an opening this last week. For comparison, there's about 200 countries in the United Nations. So we're growing. The Salvation Army has never been bigger than today. Yes, thank you, Gemma. So it's a huge responsibility, big organisation, 2 million plus members. So we need to support our general in prayer this week as he takes over. He's a good guy. He's a good leader. And what I've heard of him already in terms of his vision for the Salvation Army is simple and impressive. So I recommend, go onto YouTube, type General-elect Lyndon Buckingham first interview, and there's a 10-12 minute interview that sets out and outline what his vision is, and the 3 points he makes are all things that you and me can do because they're really simple. So I suggest that you pray for the general and that you consider the direction in which he is going to be leading us. We listen now to the ministry from the band It Is Jesus. I think I've told this before. A formative song in my journey to faith.
Thank you. band. We need to get the words of that song up on this screen when we play it. Because I feel like I'm quoting it, but I can't trust my memory. Let's change the tone a little bit. We dedicated Eva last week, didn't we? And it was a lovely celebration. And using my mum as a threat encouraged many of you to participate very enthusiastically, more enthusiastically than you would usually, in the action song that we did last week. I was very impressed that under duress you participated so willingly. Today, I'm going to introduce a song which I believe is new. It's kind of new to me. It's one of Martha's favourites. The dance moves are way beyond me. So I can't require of you what I can't do myself. I'm going to invite you to stand. Let's sing along. This is kind of us getting kind of what familiar with the song. And then hopefully over the next few weeks, we'll start adding these snazzy dance moves in without kind of causing too many injuries. Shall we see how we get on? Let's stand and join in together. A round of applause. Take your seats. That was a very good first attempt, but there's a long way to go. And the move that worries me particularly is that one. I'm really worried about that one, and we might have to find something else to go in its place. Thank you very much, everyone, for taking part. This song will come back. So be aware of it, practice at home, limber yourself up before you come, because that one's a little bit more demanding than what we're used to. And now that we're suitably out of breath, I'll call upon the songsters to minister to us this morning. Thank you. Thank you, songsters. As Dennis says, it's a good one. And it was a fantastic proclamation that Jesus is conqueror. Jesus, I'm not going to, no, because I'm going to launch into a sermon. I'm not going to go there. Jesus is conqueror. Thank you, worship band. We're a couple of members down, but we're going to all join together in singing Strength Will Rise as we wait upon the Lord. The bad news is I'm taking Claire's spot this morning. Please stand up and join together. Our Bible reading this morning comes from 1 Thessalonians, and I'll be reading in chapter 5 from verses 12 to 24. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, verses 12 to 24. Now, we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive. Encourage the disheartened. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the spirit, do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. The Salvation Army's 10th doctrine declares, we believe that it is the privilege of all believers to be holy, sanctified, and that their whole spirit and soul and body may be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. One remarkable thing about this statement is that it is our doctrine that most closely parallels Scripture. And we have just heard that, and I'll repeat it. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. In this verse, and the article of faith that echoes it, contain a great promise. It is possible for every believer, you and me, to be holy. Each and every one of us, by the grace of God, can live a life totally set apart for him. We can live in a godly way. We can be like Jesus. This is what the Bible and our doctrines say. But I suspect that the reality for many of us is the apparent distance between this promise and our actual experience. And we may ask, how can this be for every believer? The main difficulty, I suspect, around the topic of holiness or sanctification, because for the purpose of today we'll kind of use them almost interchangeably, is that these words carry overtones of superiority, particularly in common everyday speech. So we hear sanctified and our minds leap perhaps to sanctimonious. We hear the word holy and we think holier than thou. And let's be honest, who wants to be those things? But when we turn to the Bible, however, we see that the word holy is better understood as different, distinct, unique. So in Genesis chapter 2 verse 3, we read that after 6 days of creation, God blessed the seventh day and made it holy. The climax of God's creative work is a day that is different from the others. It is distinct because it's set apart for rest. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 5, God tells Moses, take off your sandals, for the place where you're standing is holy ground. This is not because the soil itself was any different. You know this. But the place was distinct because God was there. So what I want to kind of emphasize this morning is this idea of distinctiveness. It's this idea of distinctiveness that defines holiness in the Old Testament. And holiness, of course, defines God. Exodus chapter 15, verse 11. Who among the gods is like you, Lord? Who is like you? Majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders. In Isaiah chapter 6, seraphim, angelic beings, cry out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. Yes, God is holy. He is distinct from his creation. But irrespective of this, he wishes to draw near to his people. And we read in Hosea chapter 11, verse 8 to 9. How can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, Israel? How can I treat you like Admah? How can I make you like Zeboim? My heart is changed within me. All my compassion is aroused. I will not carry out my fierce anger, nor will I devastate Ephraim again. For I am God, not a man, the Holy One among you. I will not come against their cities. So at the heart of God's distinctiveness, at the heart of God's holiness, is his compassion for his flawed people and his desire to share his presence with them. And of course, God's holiness is embodied in a very special and particular way in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus, who is truly and properly God and truly and properly man, came to save those who repent, but he also came to show us, flawed people, what it means to live lives that are fulfilling and also pleasing to God. So the clear implication for those that accept Jesus's gift of salvation is a complete overhaul of their life. Salvation without transformation is no salvation. If we don't change, if everything remains the same, we haven't been saved from anything. So the logical follow-up to salvation is transformation. The issue we face, and this is particular to the Salvation Army, is that we have separated these two things. We have separated salvation and holiness. And we have tended to speak of salvation as a personal conversion, and the life of holiness as something that follows on later. Those of you who have been around the Salvation Army for a while, well, and similar Wesleyan revivalist denominations, will have been taught this doctrine of a second blessing. You're saved by Jesus Christ, and then you hang around waiting for something else. And people are left hanging around a long time. We've tended to separate these two things. And as a result, holiness, I believe, and take me on if you want to, has been transformed into something that is perceived as achievable only by special people, only by others. But I want to argue this morning that holiness is an aspect of salvation. Being wholly sanctified is not an upper level of the Christian life. It's not a second stage in our Christian life. It's not reserved for people who are particularly spiritually or religiously gifted. The Holy Spirit, the holy life, being wholly sanctified is available to each and every one of us. The New Testament emphasizes that each Christian, each person who has accepted salvation in Jesus Christ, is given a new identity. And the Apostle Paul loves to use phrases along the lines of in Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus. Because of our salvation through Jesus Christ, I'm no longer just Paul. I am Paul in Christ. Julia is Julia in Christ. Something new has happened. And at the beginning of his first letter to the church in Corinth, Paul tells these first Christians that they are already sanctified. They are already made holy in Christ Jesus. So wholly sanctified, wholly holy, to use the name of last week's Congress or the week before. Wholly holy, wholly sanctified is what we are because of what Jesus has done for us. And this has an impact on how we live our lives in the world. Our vocation is to be people who are distinct but not disconnected from the culture of the society that surrounds us. Our calling is to be people who are different in matters of character. Paul encourages the Christians in Philippi to continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose.
In this short verse, Paul draws our attention to the fact that the point of conversion is only the beginning of our salvation journey, and that from that point on, we are continually to work out what it means to live according to God's will. The author of 1 Peter reminds his readers that they are sanctified by the Spirit. So we're not alone in this ongoing work. It's not done by our own efforts. The Holy Spirit within us challenges us, refines us, corrects us, changes us. So I end my talk this morning with another word that has potential to lead us astray in the Salvation Army's tent doctrine, and that's the word privilege. When I at least hear privilege, I get a feeling of unworthiness. Privilege is for others. In addition to this, I think at least that we have been taught that holiness comes on our own efforts. And it can sound like that privilege, can't it? Something that we've got to attain to. And while it's true, we must never forget that first and foremost, the process of being holy, sanctified, is built, as the author Ray Harris puts it, on the bedrock of grace. Our holiness is God's gift to us. So I conclude by repeating Paul's prayer, or Paul, Silas, and Barnabas' prayer for the church in Thessalonica. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify us through and through. May our whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Amen. We turn to song number 328 in the songbook. We use this all the time. It's by the two generals that we sang a song by earlier. And we sing this again, once again. To be like Jesus, this hope possesses me. In every thought, indeed, this is my aim, my creed. To be like Jesus, this hope possesses me. His Spirit helping me like him. I'll be, and I reiterate that idea this morning. Salvation that doesn't change us. Salvation that doesn't transform us. Salvation that doesn't make us like Jesus is no salvation. Salvation that doesn't pull us away from the person that we were is no salvation. Salvation is the beginning of this process of sanctification, this process of becoming holy, this process of becoming like Jesus. Over to you, Penny. Let's join together.
To be like Jesus, this hope possesses me. In every thought and deed, this is my aim and creed. To be
you bring our worship to a close this morning. We've got an army barmy today. That's good. It's good. It's who we are. And we close with, I'll go in the strength of the Lord. These are not Salvation Army words, I hasten to add. But it's a Salvation Army melody. And we are kind of the only people that are mad enough to sing it. But we go in the strength of God to live the life that he's called us to live. It's not by our own strength, because we know what happens when we try to work by our own strength. Doesn't work very well for me. So we go in the strength of the Lord. Let's stand and sing together. Standing if you're able, of course. The God of hope fill you up with joy, fill you up with peace, so that your lives filled with the life-giving energy of the Holy Spirit will brim over with hope. Amen.